Well, greetings in Jesus' name. It is good to be here. I'm blessed beyond words that I can put in, more than I can articulate. A few weeks ago, I did bring a message entitled God's Design in Marriage, and that was one message that I had shared at Ignite Marriage Conference. The other title that was assigned to me was Conflict and Communication. And that's what I would like to speak about this morning. So, conflict and communication. Interesting subject that I enjoyed diving into. One time there was a man and his wife having a discussion. They were communicating, okay? And I'm not sure what his wife said, but the man told her, "Well, honey, you just need to learn to embrace your mistakes." And she gave him a big hug. A little bit unwise, right? I don't think she meant it that way, but what's my point? Communication sometimes is misunderstood, and sometimes it leads to some conflict. One sounds positive, and one sounds negative, right? We want communication, but we don't want conflict. And maybe the reason we don't want conflict is some of us don't do conflict well. So, we'll get to conflict a little bit later. Someone also told me one time, and this is not fair. I don't really go for men and women jokes, you know what I mean? But somebody told me that, hey, there are two theories about arguing with women. I said, really? I like when you boil things down to, you know, point one, point two. I said, yeah, tell me what they are. He said, don't worry, neither works. That could be the same set of the other way around, right? And the reason I bring that story up is not just for a little bit of humor, but the word that I wanted you to catch there was arguing. Arguing doesn't work. Conflict is a whole different story. You can have conflict without an argument. There are so many books and seminars, etc., and I have enjoyed reading, I've enjoyed various resources, but I concluded that the best classroom, the best study that I've done, well, maybe I should say our 30 plus years of marriage, but one time I was working in a home, and those of us that get out in the public, we have a lot of classrooms, right? We learn a lot. I was installing a floor for an 87-year-old couple. That was a really interesting 1.5 day. They were both extremely hard of hearing. Very hard of hearing. So you know what that meant? They talked loud. So I was working in the kitchen and dining room, and they were in the living room. And they talked loud. And it was so interesting, as I was supposed to be working. I don't think I can call it eavesdropping because I was just hearing. And they were talking. They literally, in about a day, they walked through, apparently they were high school sweethearts and got married and had a family and lived life. And they walked through every category of life in that day and a half that I was working for them. And it was just fascinating for me to just listen to an 87-year-old couple reflect on life. They were communicating. It wasn't always, oh, yes, honey, yes, I know. Oh, yeah, I love you, I love you, I love you. I mean, here's the classic that I remember. The classic. It got quiet. By the way, communication is sometimes without words. And it was quiet for a good long while. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, he pipes up, "Honey, let's buy a camper." I thought, this is going to get good. Because he's 87 and he has several health issues, and I don't know if I want to be in the campground with this man. And so I thought, I also wondered, how's she going to handle this one? And I was shocked. She left the guy dream and go for a couple minutes, you know, about the camper. We're going to go out west and we're going to go this park. And I'm actually thinking, when are you going to shut him down? And then after letting this 87-year-old man with a lot of health issues dream big, she gently, so ever so gently, got a hold of him and just pulled him right back to reality. And then he finally says, yeah, you're right. They had conflict. Conflict and communication. That was probably my greatest classroom that I've ever been in on the subject of conflict and communication. Neil Warren is an author. He wrote the book Triumphant Marriage. He said something like this. He said, marriage is complex. Two unique individuals make a lifelong commitment. Each of them has an elaborate inner world of thoughts and feelings, goals and dreams, values and opinions, and wounds and sensitivities, not to mention a few million needs. Well, these two people join up and make a combined life and hope to make a combined life significantly more satisfying, meaningful, exciting, fun, full, and loving, more than you could individually. So they have a big day and make the lifelong commitment. Well, they move in with each other, they bring all their accumulated stuff, and his 2 million separate thoughts, feelings, goals, dreams, values, opinions, wounds, sensitivities, and needs, not to mention her 2 million of the same. And they shall be one flesh? Really? Yes, they will. But not without some banging and clanging and crying and talking and sharing and merging and blending. In other words, conflict. That's a quote from Neil Warren, Triumphant Marriage. So what I'm going to do is just going to break this down into two parts. The first we're going to talk about is communication, okay? So we're going to just a few thoughts on communication, and then we're going to switch gears into the subject of conflict. The two are so related, communication and conflict. In real estate, the buzzword is, you know what? Location, 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 right? All realtors know that. In marriage, although this, I think I said in the beginning of the first message that this one is a lot more practical for everyone, married or not married, because this one is so much about relationship. Of course, I'm tweaking it a little bit in the marriage context, but this one is so broad. Communication and conflict happens in every relationship. So let me say it like this. In every relationship, communication, communication, communication. That's the buzzword. It's what blood is to life. Okay? You take the blood away, there's no life. You take communication away, there is no relationship. You do not have a relationship with God if you don't have communication. Period. You don't have a relationship with anyone unless you have communication. Communication, communication, communication. And we all know communication takes time. So the first point that I would like to make is the basics of communication. Real simple. My definition of communication is understanding and being understood. Okay? Understanding and being understood. Really, that's what communication is. That's why we communicate. We communicate to understand. And I want to tell you right now, every person longs for that. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're an extrovert, introvert. You long to be understood. The opposite of that is to be misunderstood. And that's hard. We all know what that's like. We have all been misunderstood. I didn't mean that. Breakdown in communication equals misunderstandings. It's a deep human yearning. It's not a male thing. It's not a female thing. It's a human thing. And listen carefully. This intensifies with distress and disagreement. This longing intensifies when there's distress and disagreement. We want to be understood. One word that describes the absence of being understood. One word. Loneliness. And listen, there's many casualties and side effects from loneliness that spring from it. Misunderstandings, accusations, and so on. You know, we've been studying Job. If you want to jot a reference down, I think it's Job 31:35. Job 31:35. I'm not going to take time to turn to it, but you're going to hear Job say this. Listen. Oh, that someone would hear me! Ha! What's he saying? He's saying, I just want to be understood. I want somebody to hear me. Now, I will say that I really believe that God designs periods in our life, and I say this carefully. I really believe that there are periods in our life that God designs that really nobody is going to understand. I mean, we could walk into the garden with Jesus. Jesus took his disciples, why? Probably to be understood or to have companionship so he isn't lonely. I really believe that God allows it. You know, look at Job. I still have a lot of questions about the whole story, but I'm saying this. I'm just taking a little bit of a side note apart from my main thrust of communication and saying, I think there's some periods in our life that God designs just to bring us close to him, because really no one is going to fully understand us. So that's just this. Maybe you're in one of those valleys, and I just want to encourage you to draw close to God. I want to talk a little bit now about the basics of communication. It is transmitting ideas or thoughts, okay? That's really what, that's some basics of communication, okay? I already said understanding and being understood. So to do that, I have an idea in my mind. How can I get the idea in your mind? In fact, that's the purpose of the message, right? The Sunday school teacher, I hope you had a, every Sunday school teacher, I hope you went into your class, you have an idea that you got in your study from the Word, and your goal is to transmit that into the minds of the other your hearers. I mean, when I call somebody and I want to talk about something, I have an idea and I want them to have the idea. And that's kind of hard, because what do we use? We use words, we use tone of voice, we use body language and so on. And sometimes it is so hard to get the idea in the next person's mind. This is not original with me. I found it online, but you probably heard it several times. You may or may not have heard it. But here's what I'm trying to say. There's two people, and they have an idea. This one is going this way, okay? So she's got the idea, and she's trying to put the idea in his mind. So what you do is you put it into words, and that's called encoding, okay? So I got the idea. I'm going to encode that idea with words, and then speak them, okay? And now that has a little bit of traveling to do, and the person that hears takes the exact same words, included with a tone, included with a body language, and decodes them. And then there's an idea. Now that can be challenging, as you well know, because have you ever said something and the other person kind of repeats it and you say, no, that's not what I meant. So something happened in the encoding and the decoding process. And that sometimes is difficult and it's frustrating. Well, did you ever get a piece of paper and say, no, here, and you sketch something? And now you're adding something to you're enhancing the idea. You're trying to get the idea into the other person's mind. It was about 2 months ago. We were up at the Laura Church in Grenada. Joyce and I, our daughter Alana, and Pastor Conhai was there, and one other single lady, Emily Martin. And we had a difficult task of setting up tables for a banquet in a confined, interestingly shaped space. And so it was kind of good. We're preparing to speak that night on conflict and communication. And I still remember the frustration it was. Several of us would have ideas, and we do this, and we didn't get it. And then we would grab the table and set it this way. Do you get what I'm saying? This whole idea of encoding, communicating, decoding, getting the exact same idea in two people's mind is sometimes a pretty big subject. So, sometimes misunderstandings happen with lack of encoding. Do you ever know somebody that's extremely brilliant, smart, but they just really struggle to put an idea into words that the other person can understand? And so sometimes misunderstandings are that way. And then sometimes the misunderstandings are on the other person, where they just simply don't want to, or didn't try to, or just didn't hear. And then in the middle, there's this thing called noise. And sometimes it's literal, okay? Sometimes there's literal noise that really affects communication. You ever had a phone call where the static or the signal or... That is so frustrating. I was on one this week, and I think I got about 80% of what the person was saying because of lack of... I'm not sure exactly what it was, but... That's just hard. So you have this thing of noise that actually sometimes is intentional. Sometimes, I'll be honest, you can be honest too. Have you ever tried so hard to present your case into words that you're trying so hard to maybe get an idea in the other person's mind, maybe cutting out a couple key facts, maybe there's ulterior motives in mind? That's all noise. So if we can, for good communication, the basics of communication is just understanding and being understood and eliminating, putting the idea in the other person's mind without noise. And these statistics vary quite a bit. Our winter Bible school book had some of these thoughts on communication. Here, the resource that I found says words are only 10%. That's usually the case. Words, if you're going to find it broken down into percentages, words are usually 10% of your communication. And then body language and tone is so big. In other words, about 90% of your communication is hinged on your body language and tone. That's why sometimes you can hardly put it into writing. You have to put tone, body language, and so forth into it. So, for instance, if I come in the door and after a hard day at work and Joyce says, "When are you going to fix the faucets? Leaking for 3 weeks now." And, or no, she would say, honey, when are you going to fix the faucet? Or, will you please fix the faucet, please? And I say, okay. Or, okay. You know, I said something, she heard something totally different, the exact same word. And you can vary, you can find about 15 variables in between the two. This is maybe the most important slide in the message. Some scriptural communication. I'm sorry, scriptural principles on communication. This is what God says. You know, it's one thing what man says, what I say. Here's what God says about communication. Let these principles sink deep. Number one, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. I call that the speed check of James chapter 1. So often we get that all messed up. We're swift where we should be slow, and we're slow where we should be swift. That's a principle of communication. If you got that one, you probably got most of communication down pat. Secondly, I don't know if I'll read this entire passage, but here's the bold print. Number one, put away lying. You'll never, ever, ever, ever be able to communicate if you lie. You cannot. Impossible. Then it says, speak every man truth. That's a principle of communication. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. And here's another principle. Be angry and sin not. Now, if I would open this slide and say, how many of you think it's okay to be angry? I wonder how many of you would have raised your hands. Did you, if I understand this passage right, it is the command. One time I went through the entire Bible, entire New Testament, underlining every command. Every time you find a command, underline it. And that was a very interesting study. And I remember coming to this one, ooh, that's an interesting, that's a command. Be ye angry. So I underlined it, be angry, that's a command. So I have a command to be angry. Is that what the Bible says? Absolutely. What did that preacher say? That's right. That's how I understand God's word. Be angry. But the conditional phrase is, and sin not. Most people sin in their anger, they sin. And it's all about, my way has been violated. And I think Jesus got pretty angry a few times. I think it's totally okay to get really angry when God's word is violated, God's principles are violated, but in the anger, don't sin. So, anyway, that's a principle of communication. Oh, I went the wrong way. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Let me just stop and let that sink in. Let your speech be always with grace. Season with salt. If you got that one, you got communication figured out. Ecclesiastes says there's a time to keep silence and there's a time to speak. If you got that one down pat, you got it figured out. If you know when to talk and know when not to talk, God have mercy on me, right? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death, life is in the power of your tongue. Job, how long will you vex my soul and break me in pieces with swords? There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. That's Proverbs. When I was a little boy, I remember somebody saying, somebody said something nasty to him, and he turned around and retorted, sticks and stone can hurt my bones, but words will never harm me. You heard that? That's a lie. I'm telling you, words will pierce far deeper than any stick or stone will ever go. In fact, the scripture says it. The scripture says, Job says, why do you do this? You break me in pieces with words. There is that speaketh like piercings of a sword. Scriptural principles on communication. That's just really brief. We could talk about each one of those, but we have a few more. Levels of communication. So now we're talking about communication, just the basics. So levels. There are different levels of communication. Let me just put them all on the board, okay? On the slide. There's small talk. There is facts. There is opinions and ideas and decisions. There is feelings and emotions. And there is beliefs and needs. So let me just try to, in a few minutes, just unpack this. I don't know how you are, but there are some people that take a long time to get to the bottom of your heart, right? We don't generally go up to somebody on the street or meet somebody for the first time and tell them the most deep, intimate things about that are in our hearts. Whether we know it or not, we have levels of communication. The surface level is the small talk. How are you? Nice day. Oh, tomorrow I'm leaving at 5 a.m. You know. And by the way, Joyce and I could live for an entire week if we would choose to on small talk. Just the basics. What are you going? And I think there's a lot of relationships that survive on level one. Then there's more facts. It's not much deeper, but just a little bit deeper than small talk. Oh, here's what happened to me. Here's what I'm going to do tomorrow. I'm calling it facts, okay? And again, we can live a long time on those two levels. When we get down to the third level, now our opinions and ideas and decisions are involved, and this is where we become more vulnerable. For instance, 2020, COVID. Whoa. You know, it was pretty easy to talk about small talk and facts and what's happening. But when I actually would share my opinion and my idea and a decision that I make, now all of a sudden I have become vulnerable. Get it? That's only one illustration. But, and then one level lower is when I really get, when I put my feeling into it. I remember vividly a Jehovah's Witness came to my house in Grenada. We were out on our veranda talking, and it got deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And then I still remember he said, "You feel deeply about this." And what was happening is, maybe it's not quite a fair analogy. I don't know if I was really getting down deep in the depth of my heart, but I was really putting feeling into it. And the deeper you go, the more emotion and feeling you're okay with putting into the conversation, and you see what's going on. And finally, when you get to the lowest level, the deepest level of anyone's heart, you are just talking about the core of who you are. Your belief system, and you're even willing to say, "Here's what I need in life, my basic needs," and that's really, really, really in the bottom of your heart. And the, one of the examples that I like to use in this is Samson and Delilah. You know the story. I found it ironic when we were out in Cherry Creek, South Dakota. The Sunday school lesson was on Samson and Delilah. And I had the privilege of teaching Sunday school. I don't often get the privilege of teaching Sunday school. Claire Long preached the message. I taught Sunday school. And I remember thinking that through about Samson and Delilah. And you know, I'm not going to go rehearse the story, but at one point, Samson, I like to imagine, I think he got tired of her nagging. And you know, he tried a couple tricks, and he started up here, small talk. And they had a relationship. But it was small. She didn't know the depth of his heart. And finally, after Delilah got nagging, I wonder if it looked kind of like this. He kind of leans in a little bit. He says, "Okay, Delilah." And he told her exactly where his strength was. You know what he did? He made himself totally vulnerable. By the way, levels of communication equal vulnerability. He made himself vulnerable in an unsafe place. Levels of communication. And especially for us as couples, you know, on what level are we communicating? That says so much about our relationship. Healthy communication, a few quick principles on healthy communication. There is respect. I remember a teacher went into our classroom the first day, and she says, and this was a wise teacher. The teacher said, "Students, we're going to make the rules on day one." And the student, "What? We make the rules?" "Yes, you make the rules." "Okay, no, you must raise your hand before you talk." "Good," wrote it on the board. Another one came in, "No whispering." This is from the students. And, you know, because they were all in. And the students compiled a list of 10 rules. And then at the end of that, the teacher just basically erased them all and put one word that enveloped every one of those rules, and it was the word respect. And healthy communication equals just respect. If I learn that, if you learn that, we're going to have healthy communication. Respect in communication. Secondly, listen well. I really appreciated our Winter Bible School book. Nate taught on Wednesday night. And I'm not going to go back over it all, but if you want to go back to your really good principles of listening, go back to that book. I forget what page it is, but levels of listening, it concludes with empathetic listening. That is, listen well. That's what I'll say. Healthy communication it is very important that we listen well. Eye contact, listening. Expressing appreciation and blessing. 1 Peter, I should have put this verse on the slide where 1 Peter says, "But contrarywise, blessing." Don't render evil for evil. That's normally what happens in unhealthy communication. But expressing appreciation and blessing. Honesty and transparency. You know, there must be honesty and transparency in relationship. I have heard a spouse say, "I don't know if I can trust." It's not here. That's so sad. That is so sad. And I just want to say, every one of us, honesty and transparency, that's the foundation of all life, right there, honesty. We're talking about healthy communication. Keep it constant. Whatever relationship, you have to have regular times. Guard it. Everybody's going to have different schedules for this, but Joyce and I, you know that I wake up in the morning and I go have my quiet time and I sit in my study until she whistles, and when she whistles, I come barging out of my study. No, it's just, we have a cup of coffee together. And for us, that is just a lifesaver. And I don't care when you do it, how you do it, I don't care what relationship you're in, but you have to guard your time of communication, period. You have to guard it, whatever that looks like. And even in a business world, if you don't have regular meetings where you talk and communicate, it's not going to go well. So, mistakes, here's a couple of mistakes. Don't raise your voice. Never. I think the only time to raise your voice is if the other person can't hear. Raising your voice for other reasons usually doesn't produce good results. Disrespect. Never, ever, ever, ever speak down, especially on a spouse. Never do it. Like a parent to a child, and I've failed in this already. I don't know if you have as a husband, but just, it doesn't work when your spouse feels scolded. It doesn't work. We'll get to conflict a little bit later. Assumptions, pretending that you know what the other person thinks. Interruptions, this is all mistakes in communication. Don't interrupt, don't assume, don't use sarcasm. Okay, you're right. That's dripping with sarcasm, right? You're such a godly person. Yeah. Well, if you just write that on words, you know, your family does it just right. Sometimes that happens in marriage. And that's called sarcasm. It's just very unhealthy. and criticism, attacking the person, not the problem. No, wait. Criticism is when you attack the person. We want to attack the problem. Huge difference. Now we're going to move on to conflict. And I want to say right up front, conflict is normal and natural. Conflict can be the door to deeper relationship. Do you believe that? I'm convinced of it. But it takes two people to understand what conflict is, what it could do, and which direction it could take us. Unfortunately, many don't enter that door of deeper relationship because of fearing of opposing opinions. And just want to keep the peace. If you live life just to keep the peace, you have a pretty shallow relationship. I remember we were in Grenada serving, and Alan Roth came down to have a seminar on relationships. And I remember one of the first, in the very first session, he said this. He said, I'm just going to speak blunt about your relationships. If you have a relationship with anybody here, your wife or anybody on staff here, and you don't have conflict, one of you is not being honest. I have never forgot that. Did you hear what I just said, what I repeated? Alan Roth saying, if you don't have conflict, one of you is not honest. I have not forgot that. In a good marriage, there must be two authentic partners. Authenticity involves full and free expressions of the person, true self with all their uniqueness. And when this happens, there's bound to be conflict. There's another man, Walter Trobisch. I don't know much about him, but he wrote a book on marriage. And he said this. He ministered in an African country. And he reflected on his years of ministry. And he said, I had a little principle when I would marry people. He said, here's a scenario. Couple comes in. They want to get married. Oh, wonderful. Step one, couple, tell me about your last conflict. They look at each other. We didn't really have a conflict. Okay, you're on your way. Go. Come back when you had your first argument or first conflict, and then I want to know how it went, and then we'll talk about marriage. I wonder if he actually did that. But do you get his point? He said, until you learn how to work through conflict, you're really not ready for a deep relationship. That was his whole point in his book. That's what Walter Trobisch did. Now, I sat with a lot of couples already before they got married. I never tried that yet, but pity the next couple that comes to talk. No, I don't know if I would quite take that approach, but my point is conflict is normal and it's natural and it is the doorway to deep relationships. You know, you have a style in dealing with conflict, and I'm going to boil it down to three, okay? You engage another opinion, okay? That's basically where the conflict starts. When somebody is vulnerable in an opinion, remember the levels of communication, there's two people that are vulnerable, make themselves vulnerable on opinion. And they're different. Conflict. So you got a choice, and everybody has a natural bend to how they respond. Either you are, one, confrontational, ooh, in your face. Do you know anybody like that? Are you like that? Imagine if a whole family or a whole church would be like that. Whoa. Could get good, right? Then there's another possibility, that's calm discussion. And then there's a third one, avoid it. That's the three real basic ones. So it kind of helps to know who you are. What is your go-to? Are you a confrontational person? Or are you a calm discussion person? Let's talk about it. Or, don't go there. I'm going to say a very high percentage of people are in the category of number three. And that's not going to equal deep relationships. Now, I think there's some times where there's wisdom and discretion. You get a confrontational and a avoid it together. The avoid it's going to have to be very careful or they're both going to have to, in other words, they're going to have some conflict. Hindrances in dealing with conflict. And I think what I'm going to do is just quickly go through four of, I'm going to put them all right on the board. There's, I don't know if you ever heard of John Gottman. I'm not going to quote him as a highly respected Christian man. He's not a Christian. I don't respect him for his values in theology, but I respect him for the time and energy he put into research and relationship. And he did intense research on how couples function. And he coined this phrase, the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Okay? Very interesting. I'm not going to try to take the time to unpack it, but here's what he said. If you got one of these four horsemen, and the reason he calls it the apocalypse, you know what the apocalypse is? The end. So here's four signs of the end of a relationship. Number one, the one horse is a critical person, where you point out the other person's faults. In other words, you attack their character. You always, you. And you're not as interested in the problem. Critical or criticism is, if you're a critical person, you can be assured that the relationship that you are using that technique on is, there's an apocalypse to it. Secondly, when you are on the defensive, when everything that is brought to you, okay, so you do have an opinion about something and somebody comes against you and you perceive that as an attack. And maybe you whine like an innocent victim, or maybe what they say is honestly how they feel, but it's not the whole picture. In other words, you're just defensive. That's not going to work either. Thirdly is contempt. And that's where you just use the tactic of speaking down, the superiority method, mocking, trying to make them feel bad, speaking, you know, there's all kinds of things that go into this one, rolling your eyes and sneering. And actually, contempt is very serious. It can cause very deep wounds, and it will destroy fondness and admiration. But rather, you should show appreciation. And the last one is the stonewalling. And that's where the listener withdraws. And sometimes they just literally walk out the door and slam the door. That's stonewalling. Sometimes the just kind of tune out. Yeah. Do you ever, in a conversation where the person just tunes out? And that's stonewalling. The stonewaller does not appear interested. And sometimes it is just to avoid a blow up and so forth. So anyway, those are four hindrances in communication. And the last one is skills in resolving conflict. There's some major categories of conflicts, and I think we could put these in every one of the categories. But here is one thing that you got to do right up front. If you embrace a conflict, number one, you identify the source of the conflict, who it is, and what it is. I mean, let me just draw a random scenario. I don't do very. I'll do one that I don't do good at. But this really hasn't been a conflict in our home. But let's say Joyce says one day, you know what? Or let's use a couple that they're both at work every day, okay? And they come home, and she makes supper. And after supper, she's always washing the dishes while he's stretched out on the recliner reading the newspaper. And she starts internalizing this. Her best scenario for success in handling this is to identify the source, and in this case, it's him. What it is, he's not helping, okay? Choose a time and a place to discuss the source. If you're with me on this one, most times the time and the place is not right now. So So in our situation, in our lifestyle, probably the best, the most productive is next morning when she whistles for me and we sit down and have coffee. Hey, can we talk about something, you know? It'd be a whole lot different than, I am so tired of... Choose a time and a place where the atmosphere is going to be right. Begin with a blessing. Think how it's going to work, sound if she says, you know, I really appreciate this and this and this about what you do. I admire your job. I admire what you bring home. I admire the... we got a little better foundation than if we blew up right when it happened. You know what I mean? Discuss the issue. And this takes vulnerability because it could go south. Every time you address something like this in any relationship, it does have the potential to go south. But you have to enter a deeper relationship. There must be vulnerability to address conflict. There must be. And that's where you have to really be honest about your feelings and your emotions. And this is how it feels to me. It feels to me like you... And then allow for a dialogue. There has to be room for both persons, both parties to talk. And in that dialogue, there should be asking clarifying questions. So here's one of our favorite ones. So help me understand. Okay, what you're saying, help me understand. In other words, that's going to be totally different than, no way, I don't, and trust me, there are times in conflict where I'm thinking, that's not true, that is not true. But if I say, well, help me understand how you're feeling that way, that's going to be totally different. Skills in resolving conflict. If you drop in at our house, sometimes we don't always do these, but they work, they do. Ask clarifying questions, that's where I'm at. Restate what you heard. Sometimes when you put the other person's feelings and hurts into your words, sometimes it'll come out, and it's a very healthy exercise to do that. Put it into your own words. And empathize, validate their feelings. I don't care what somebody says about you, and there are times where that's not true. But you know what? If they were willing to say it, they felt something. They felt something. So when we validate the other person's feelings and empathize, we're talking about resolving skills in resolving conflict. And finally, conclude and agree on a plan. Back to our dishwashing scenario. Okay, here's what she needs. She needs me to, I don't know, once a week, twice a week, or she needs clear the table or whatever. You know what I'm saying? When someone is willing to bring a conflict, there has to be a conclusion and agree on a plan. Skills on resolving conflict. And, oh, I love the book of Song of Solomon. I do. Do you? You know, Solomon wrote 5,000 songs, I think it says. Is that right? 5,000? And the Song of Solomon, it says, is the Song of Songs. So it's the best one he ever wrote. So I think it'd be good to everybody to read the Song of Solomon. I admit there's things in the Song of Solomon that I'd be maybe a little hesitant to say across the pulpit. But you know what? When I discovered that there was conflict in the Song of Solomon, it brought a whole new light to this whole subject of conflict and communication. Song of Solomon isn't all about lovey-dovey, ooh, ah, rosy, rosy, cozy, cozy. Chapter 5. Some people think it was a dream. I don't think it was a dream. I think it was real. I don't know. She was sleeping, but yet she was awake. And he had night dew in his hair. He was out late. That's what he was doing. Probably at a business meeting. He was a king. Probably out late. And he comes home and he knocks. And she, I'm not opening. And it's in the Bible. She says, I don't want to get my feet dirty. That's what it says. And then it says that she got out of bed and she was dripping with perfume. Okay. And then she opened the door. He's gone. And she rallies a big army together to go find him. And you read it in the Song of Solomon sometime. But you know what I say? There was conflict in the beautiful book of Song of Solomon because they lived in a very real world. And that's where you live and that's where I live. So I say everything to say, conflict and communication. If we learn it, we've got so much of life going our way. So may the Lord bless you in your conflicts, and may the Lord bless you as you communicate. Let's all stand for a prayer. I'm sorry for the overtime. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come to you in the precious name of Jesus. Thank you for the ability to communicate. And I'm even going to say thank you for the conflicts that we have, the different opinions that allow us to be refined and even deepen our relationships. So help us, Lord. Help each one of us in the varied relationships that we have here. Those that are married, I pray that you would help us in applying these principles. Those that are not married, I pray that you would just help them apply these principles in their relationships. Ultimately, we want to communicate with you and have a deep relationship with you. So bless us in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Psalm, and then you're dismissed.